I've heard the term nasty woman, haven't you? Mm-hmm.
Well, they have.
Thank you. I'd like to bring the reconvene the House Committee on Business and Labor. We have four bills up, and we're going to start off with opening a work session on House Bill 4093. And, Jan, if you could describe the dash two. Please, and I don't think we need to adopt both of the dash one and the dash two.
That's correct. So, committee members, this is a measure that deals with amateur athletes. The dash two creates a definition for an amateur athlete and includes in that definition a reference to the individual's involvement in amateur sports activities, events, or competitions for a team, a league, a club, or an association that's included in the report that's made to the Department of Consumer and Business Services. And it deletes in the original measure all reference to players of junior ice hockey team and instead exempts amateur athletes as defined in the Act. And it requires amateur sports organizations to annually report to DCBS that includes contact information for their regional, their national, and international certifying authority that has certified the organization as an amateur sports organization, as well as the roster that lists contact information for the team, league, club, and association affiliated with that organization. That's a dash two amendment. There's a minimal revenue impact on it, and there's a minimal expenditure impact.
Thank you. And committee, I know you haven't had a lot of time to check with folks on the dash two, so I'm going to allow Tim Bernasek to just come up and comment on the dash two as the proponent of the bill.
Chair Holvey, members of the committee, for the record, Tim Bernasek, again representing Portland Winter Hawks and Western Hockey League. The dash two amendments are substantially similar to the dash one amendments, and the amendment would bring the bill closer to, you may recall, Senate Bill 901 last session that dealt with amateur athletics generally, and this brings us back to that process, which we don't have any opposition to. At all. There's a reporting requirement that the certifying governing bodies would certify that various teams and leagues are, in fact, have amateur athletes playing for them. And so anyway, it's consistent with what we were looking at in Senate Bill 901, and we don't have any opposition to the amendment. I have not had a chance either with the dash ones or the dash twos to really do an in-depth analysis of it, but I suspect if there are some issues, we can, you know, were it to pass out, we would be able to work on that down the road. But our look at it, our initial review of it, is it looks fine.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Bernasek? Thank you for your comments. So we're
going to
go with the dash two on
that. Chair Holvey, I move to adopt the dash two amendments for House Bill 4093.
Representative Bynum moves to adopt the dash two amendments to House Bill 4093. Discussion. No discussion.
On the amendment?
On the amendment. Is there any objection to the amendment? Seeing none, the dash two is adopted. Representative Bynum.
Chair Holvey, I move House Bill 4093 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Bynum moves House Bill 4093 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion?
Down this way.
Representative Evans.
Thank you, Chair Holvey. I wrote my words out to be very clear tonight, so it'll take just a second. I'm providing a courtesy yes, not because I believe the case has been made, but because I believe the young men, the cities, the counties, and the parks deserve a chance to make their case on the floor. I remain personally and professionally frustrated by the continual, if I don't get my way, I'm taking my hockey team away argument, and the lack of truthfulness on the part of some, but not all, of the advocates. I come from a place where we deal with hostage situations very differently. However, out of respect for the sponsor, I will provide a courtesy vote tonight. Do not expect that on the floor.
Other comments? Discussion? Yeah, I will also be a no on this particular vote. Appreciate the attention everybody's paid to this. I traditionally do not like carve-outs from wage and hour and civil rights. I think those standards are already set in statute and should be pursued through that process and not through a special treatment of an individual business or team. So in this case, so I did appreciate I was able to work with Mr. Bernasik to amend this bill to something I saw as a little bit more fair to athletes, amateur athletes. I also will agree with Representative Evans. I really don't like the idea that the bill was really about amateur athletes and their status under wage and hour laws. And the conversation was about we'll build a rank if this passes. I just don't think that that's an appropriate way to pursue a bill like this. But having said that, I was committed to bringing this bill to a vote if there was the votes to pass it, and so I am standing by that. And so with that, we have a motion on the floor, or motion at the table. And Jessica, would you call the roll?
Representative Bowles?
Aye.
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative Evans?
Yes.
Representative
Fahey? No. Representative Hurd? Aye. Representative Hammer? Aye. Representative Wilson? No. Representative Wilson? Aye. Vice Chair Barreto?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bynum?
Aye.
Chair Holtby?
No.
House Bill 4093, having received the required votes, is passed to the floor, and we will have Representative Mostrom carry the bill. Yeah. That'll close the work session on House Bill 4093 and open a work session on House Bill 4113.
Mr. Chair and committee members, this is the measure that includes class size as a mandatory subject of collective bargaining. There's no amendments before you. There is no revenue impact. And a fiscal statement has been issued. It's on OLIS. It basically is saying that the fiscal impact cannot be determined due to the unpredictable nature of collective bargaining.
No amendments to this bill?
No amendments.
Chair Holvey, I move House Bill 4113 as to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Bynum moves House Bill 4113 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Representative Fahey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to be a yes vote on this bill today because I think that members of labor unions should have the right to bargain wages, hours, and working conditions, and there's probably nothing more important to a teacher than in terms of their working conditions than class size. But I'm under no illusions that this actually fixes the problem of class size in Oregon. To meaningfully reduce class size in this state would be a very expensive thing to do in our education system. And if that's something we want to prioritize as a state, the only way to accomplish that is additional funding. We are tweaking around the edges with this bill on the issue of class size. I'm a member of the Joint Committee on Student Success, and I am very much looking forward to the work that we're going to do this year, collecting input from parents, students, teachers, community members about what the state actually wants to prioritize in terms of improvements to our education system and how to fund it.
Thank you. Representative Barreto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would agree that I think the economic fallout from this will be extraordinary, along with some of the other bills that we're passing right now. And I am wondering who will be sitting in the box to pay for it. So. I think some of this type of legislation that we put forward is foolish, and I just think it's something that we haven't vetted. When Jan says we don't know, you know, what the fiscal is on it, but we know that it will be high, and to go ahead and put out bills like this, especially in the short session when we don't even have time to evaluate what it's going to cost Oregon in the long term, doesn't give, I don't think, the people nor the businesses in Oregon a very good feel for the future. So I will be a definite no on this.
Representative Kinnamer.
Thank you. This is a difficult bill for me. I sit on the horns of the dilemma. You know, education's already underfunded. This helps accelerate that. Part of that also is our responsibility. We haven't solved the PERS problem, which eats up an enormous amount of money instead of going to actual teaching anymore. On the other hand, class size makes a difference. As a learning handicapped student myself, small class size was part of what enabled me to be successful. And I think that overweighs it for me.
Representative Doherty.
Yeah. To bring things just kind of in what reality is, I mean, our bargain labor contracts for 26 years for teachers and classified. And there were many, subjects of bargaining, mandatory subjects of bargaining, that we never ever brought to the table. And the reason we never brought to the table, it was not an issue for our membership. And whether people don't realize it or not, the unions just don't go through and say, oh, I'm going to, you know, and I'd be in a room all by myself and say, I'm going to come up with this proposal. We survey our members. We talk to our members. We have group meetings with our members to find out exactly what sort of things are on their priority list. The first thing we do is we go through and we cost out what our proposal is going to be. But before we do that, I go through, and somebody who's never balanced her checkbook can get down to the penny how much a district can afford and how much they've got to go through and spend on monetary proposals. And so the idea that this would cost the state anything is not based in reality. What it is it gives teachers a time to sit down and say, look at management and school board, let's sit down and talk about whatever. We want to go through and talk a little bit about class size, but we only want to talk about class size in K-1 and 2. And in K-1 and 2, maybe what our proposal is we go through and we have an extra hour a week to be able to plan collectively and collaboratively. That might be our proposal. A lot of school districts are not going to bring them in. If you're in Eastern Oregon, you're not going to come in about class size. Class size is not an issue. The idea of the number of preps is an issue, because if you're the only English teacher for middle school and high school, you've got six preps and you're prepping for 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, and 11th grade. That's what the issue is. But the reality is it just gives you the ability to sit down and talk to management about an issue without them going through and saying, this is not a mandatory subject of bargaining, it is. And so we are going to file an unfair labor practice against you because you brought this to us. That's all it is. That's all it means. And it's all localized, and it's all what the teachers and the classified and the school board finally decide on.
Mr. Chair. Other discussion? Representative Hurd.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to say I very much appreciate the intent of what this legislation is focused on accomplishing, and I very much am enthusiastic in the endeavors that we find a better way to educate our children properly so that we set them up for a life pattern of success, so that they don't come to the legislature looking for us to fix their adult problems. We want them to be sensational successes in this life. But until we start putting a priority on funding our K-12 education system at the beginning of the sessions, the long sessions, instead of using it as a political football back and forth, and both parties are guilty of it. So we need not point fingers at one or the other. We're both guilty of it. Until we start actually doing our children right, I'm afraid that efforts like this will not have the results we desire. And so I really encourage all of us here to really push both of our parties in next year's long session to really fund K-12 from the beginning, full funding, get this done, let's quit kicking it around so that folks like myself can vote yes enthusiastically for pieces of legislation such as this. So unfortunately, I don't feel like we're there yet, and so I'm regretfully a no.
Other discussion? Representative Bynum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will not be as eloquent as everyone else. My parents were teachers. I have two kids in public schools right now, and understandably, they don't have large class sizes, but their school is falling apart. And I think the entire K-12 system needs far more investment than what we're giving it right now, and that was one of the reasons that I chose to run for the legislature. What I saw in North Clackamas was a community conversation when we ran into budget issues 10 years ago. And we decided as a community that we would have larger class sizes so that we could retain our stellar CTE program, so that we could retain art and music and PE. And I believe that that is a community conversation. Workload, I think, is a much more sophisticated term for what we're talking about rather than class size. And so I am concerned that this is a very narrow proposal. And I think we can do better, and I think we should do better. I've similarly had concerns about how we pay our judges, how we pay our DAs, how we pay our public defenders, and I think you get what you pay for. So I would urge, like Representative Hurd, I would urge us all to have the courage to fund our schools the way we should, and to fund them for the outcomes that we believe our children deserve. So I will be a courtesy yes on this, reserving the right to vote no, because I think we can do better, and we should do better. I applaud our teachers for bringing this up. They are noble. They are courageous. They're on the front lines every day with our children that need additional help. And I can't thank them enough for what they do for all of our kids every day, but I want to get them better. So thank you.
Thank you. Other discussion? Representative Bowles.
I actually wasn't planning on speaking, but this issue, I had three kids in the public school. I have one left. But when my daughter, who's now a senior, started kindergarten, we had just transferred from private school to public school. And her siblings had been in a kindergarten class of 12, and Anna was in a kindergarten class of 30. And that's a big class. So I get the class size situation at starting where you're learning to read. She was a tremendous teacher. It was chaos. I dreaded my volunteer day because it was hard. I mean, I didn't dread it, but you know what I'm saying. It was tough, but at the same time, we all ponied up so that we could help. So I'm going to be voting no on this because I don't believe. Actually, I appreciated your words, Representative, about a community discussion. And so I have a concern of doing something broadly here at the legislature that lessens the flexibility that our communities have to have this conversation. But I applaud the direction and the concern, you know, that we're going as far as funding our schools, being creative in providing great education to our kids. And it's very personal to all of us, because a lot of us have had, you know, kids going through this program. So anyway, I appreciate this conversation, but at the same time, I will be a no today. Looking forward to continued conversations about creativity in a way that we can really approach the problems in our state.
Anyone else?
Have a second shot at this.
Okay.
Just a short one.
Yeah. And my Valentine dinner.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
So Rob Saxton testified here the other day that he had a list of, I think, 300 options, you know, that were well ahead of classroom sizes that helped education. And I agree with the panelists here, except for my Representative Doherty, who said it won't cost anything. But there are a lot of other things that we haven't even considered, those other 191 things. So in the short session, here we are passing something like this without even considering, you know, those other items. And so that's where I think we get a little bit ahead of ourselves in developing policy that's not well vetted before we even look at other options. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Evans.
Thank you, Chair. I was going to stay silent until my good colleague mentioned Mr. Saxon's comments. Mr. Saxon's comments were about studies done by a fellow who teaches at the University of Auckland in not the United States, but in Australia. And the rest of the story is, for standardized tests between 25 and 20, there are marked differences as far as whether it's significant or not, as far as the class size. But when you get to 20, it is absolutely significant. Class sizes of 20 or less, there is a dramatic difference in standardized tests. Now, let's even move past standardized tests, because they're not actually a great measurement anyway. Class size is something the public understands. Class size is something that makes a fundamental difference as a teacher. I get the products of the K-12 system. And I can tell you, over the last 20 years, it has gone from folks who were ready to learn in college to people I literally have to tell, do your homework. Show up at time. This is a noun. This is a verb. Because right now, the schools have so many different tasks, and we have not kept up with the QEM. My frustration with this entire process is, the story is going to come out that there was a big, huge clash over class size. And at the end of the day, class size is one of the many factors that is important. But until we actually get back to what the Republican Speaker of the House, Lynn Lundquist, put together, the quality education model, as the standard, we're literally moving deck chairs around. So I get the point, with respect, that we need to try all the different alternatives. But anybody, especially those with a PhD, that says class size doesn't matter is either a liar or a fool.
Didn't say it didn't matter.
Not you, him.
Okay.
Well, let's try not to call people names.
He doesn't have a PhD either.
So any other comments? I agree, we need money for our schools. We need revenue reform to get there. We keep trying. But I think it's totally appropriate to have class size. It's a workload issue, yes. It's a working condition issue, yes. And actually, I believe it's a safety issue as well. And as such, I believe it demands conversation. And for many districts in a permissive world that can't have this discussion, I think it's short-sighted. Because I think there are, in some schools, potential solutions that may not cost money. I'm just redoing things a little bit. And I think that is, something. We need to be able to have that conversation. And I think teachers are critical to having that conversation. Yes, it's a community conversation as well. And yes, the board is going to be talking about it. This bill doesn't mandate that the board agree with anything. You know, it just says that they have to have this conversation. So, I think it will help elevate the conversation about class size, and hopefully will lead us to quicker solutions down the road. So that's my statement.
If I could add just
you want to add one more?
I do, please. Thank you. My first wife passed away some years ago, was an outstanding teacher. And I remember going to Rigler Elementary in Northeast Portland, where she had a kindergarten class of 29 students and no aid. And as a psychologist, frankly, her husband, I volunteered to create programs to help her with the behavior management problems she faced. But I would say that, to her credit, she was phenomenal, but it's impossible to teach 29 mm-hmm. kindergartners in one classroom in a basement. And mm-hmm. there's a lot more that I just won't want to say.
Okay. Could I have one word to apologize?
Thank you. I represent
56 kids in
a... Chair Holvey, I want to apologize to the Vice Chair, Vice Chair Barreto.
Right.
I want to apologize. My frustration is not at you. It's at educators that are on the administrative side that want to, because of many understandable reasons of finance, try to get the issue off of class size. It is not directed at you. It is frustration with administrators here and in my own world that I have to deal with. So I apologize.
Took no offense.
Okay.
Mr. Chair. Good, because I don't want to be in the middle bowl here. Representative Wilson.
Yeah, I'll be quick. Thank you. I'm going to vote no today. My districts can't take it, can't take the risk at this point in time. But I'm happy to be a member of the Joint Committee on Student Success. And when we get out on the road, we're going to spend a lot of time talking to people. And I'll tell you, if we understand that class size is why we have such a dismal graduation rate and absenteeism problem, I'll be the first to say that we've got to remedy it through class size. But I think we're on too short of a time frame right now to really honestly be contemplative about this and what this could do. I'm looking forward to a longer time to actually get out on the road, talk to people all over the state, and see if this class size issue is the reason or is one of the main reasons we have such difficulties. I'll be the first to take heed to that. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Well, I was just going to say one more thing.
Representative Doherty.
Thank you very much. And it deals with the idea of class size and graduation rates and all this thing. And if you haven't been a teacher, it's not that it's not always achievement, but you look across the classroom and you know that there's something wrong with Mike back there. And there's something wrong with Mike today. And this is the high school, but it's the same sort of thing with the grade school. And it has nothing to do with academics. It usually has something to do with home or something like this. And those are the sort of when you don't have a lot of kids in the class, those are the sort of things that you can deal with. And you go through and say, you know, what's wrong? And, well, I just got pulled out of the home because my dad beat the crap out of me last night. You know, kind of thing. And so those are the sort of things that class size makes a difference when it comes to achievement. And, you know, whether it's, you know, back in the day when I taught that, you know, you loaned a kid a buck for lunch because they had no lunch money or this kind of thing. Those are the sort of things that you see in a class that you don't see if you have too many kids. When I had 54 in one class, I had no idea what those kids were doing. Luckily, they were seniors, and it was spring term, and I could threaten to say, you know, you be good or I'm going to flunk you. You're not going to graduate. But I didn't do that. But anyway, it
yeah, right.
Well,
yeah,
right. Not out loud. But anyway, it really does make a difference with how you can relate to the kids and whether you know something's really wrong with them at home. So I'm not going to say any more.
All right, thank you for the discussion, members. I think it's time for us to vote. And we have the motion on the table. I almost forgot.
The motion for due pass.
Yeah. All right. Jessica, could we have a roll call vote, please?
Representative Wilson?
No.
Representative Peluso?
Yes.
Representative Kennemer?
Yes.
Representative Hurd?
No.
Representative Fahey?
Yes.
Representative Evans?
Yep.
Representative Doherty?
Yes.
Representative Bowles?
No.
Vice Chair Barreto?
No.
Vice Chair Minor?
Aye.
Chair Holby?
Aye. House Bill 4113, having received the required votes, is passed to the floor. We'll have Representative Clem carry that bill. Close the work session on House Bill 4113 and open a work session on House Bill 4127.
Mr. Chair, committee members, this is the measure that is about QBS. Had the public hearing, had the -1 before you at that time. An amendment from Representative McClain that clarifies that the contracting agency may terminate price negotiations with the consultant who was selected under the existing RFQ process, not the new process. Since then, the committee has received a -2 amendment also from Representative McClain, and it allows contracting agency to select 3 highest qualified firms instead of 5. And we have Representative Barreto's amendment, the dash three, replaces the original measure, and it creates a task force on qualifications-based selection. And it requires that task force to report to the legislative committee by September 15th, 2019.
Thank you. And so the dash two amendment is in addition to the dash one, or meant to be? It's not a replacement?
It's not a replacement. And the dash one, there's no revenue impact. There's a minimal fiscal impact. Dash two, there's no revenue impact, and there is a minimal fiscal impact. And I do not have paperwork on the dash three amendment.
Thank you. So make a motion on the one.
Chair Holvey, I move to adopt the dash one amendment to House Bill 4127.
Representative Bynum moves to adopt the dash one amendment to Bill 4127. Is there discussion? Representative Bowles.
Thank you, Chair. This is a hard bill for me. I have really great arguments on both sides. I've had people coming and talking to me. It's not as clear, simply, I think, because I have a limited understanding of the QBS system, and I'm, again, getting up to speed on that. I'm going to be a no today because I don't feel like I have a broad enough understanding to make a policy change at this point, but I'm open to continuing having this conversation as we move forward.
Thank you. Other discussion?
The amendment?
On the amendment.
Oh, sorry. I jumped ahead of time.
Okay. It's all right. We can just check you off on the next round. Is there any objection to adopting the dash one?
I have no objection to that.
And the dash one amendment's adopted.
Chair Holvey, I move to adopt the dash two amendment for House Bill 4127.
Representative Bynum moves to adopt the dash two amendment to House Bill 4127. Is there discussion? Representative Evans.
Thank you, Chair Holvey. Once again, this is a courtesy yes. I accept the premise of the problem, but there actually is a need for a change.
On the amendment.
Then I'll hold off.
Sure, you tell him.
We'll just check you off.
I was going to be checked off for the next one, too.
Is there any discussion on the dash two? All right, I appreciate the dash two. I'm bringing that number down to three from five. So with that, no objection to adopting the dash two. It's adopted. Representative Barreto, we don't have the paperwork on the dash three. I don't know if you wanted to make a motion on that or not.
Is that a consideration?
Yeah, it'd be difficult to move the bill without, we'd have to suspend the rules to do it. I don't believe that there's the votes to move it. But you have a right to make the motion if you want,
you
and
know,
have a vote.
If, well, if you want to suspend the rules, I would make the motion.
Well, I don't have to suspend the rules for the motion.
Right, the committee can adopt a amendment without the fiscal or the revenue impact analysis, but you cannot move the bill out without that analysis.
What's the amendment?
It'll be difficult after
this
we've adopted one and two to adopt the three.
This is sending it to a task force.
Well, actually,
not a
two going to the bill, the dash three would just take the bill and put it into a workforce.
Task force.
So yeah. I would be more than willing to take this bill and put it into a task force, even with the amendments in it. So if I make a motion, you know, I'll make a motion to adopt the dash three amendments and place this bill into a task force between, and I don't know if there's a sunset on that. Or not a sunset, but a time frame on that task force without the.
The task force is required to report by
September 31st, 2019.
September 15th, 2019. The dash three amendment replaces the original measure. I think it would be difficult to adopt the 1, the 2, and the 3, because the 3...
So your motion would have to rescind the 1 and 2.
Make a motion to rescind amendment dash 1 and the dash 2, and a motion to adopt the dash 3.
So Representative Barreto makes a motion to rescind the vote by which we adopted the dash 1 and dash 2 and moves the dash 3 amendment. Discussion.
On the amendment.
Mm-hmm. On the amendment.
Yes. May I?
Yeah, that's not heard.
I strongly support the dash 3. I would really like to see this go to the task force level. It's a big change. I feel strongly that something in this current process does need to change, because I think all of us at this table really want to make sure the taxpayers' money is being invested as wisely as possible, but also want to protect the quality of those projects. But I think when you focus on nothing but quality, that can be a diminishing return at some point. And so I think the task forces would be wise of this committee. That's just my own personal opinion. So I would like to see us support it.
Another discussion, Representative Wilson.
Yeah, Chair Holby, thank you. I agree with Representative Hurd. Again, this is a big ask here in a very short period of time. I think if nothing else, both parties realize that this is serious. I think we would send a much better message by asking for a task force here, because there will be a winner or a loser one way or the other, I'm afraid, without the task force. My biggest concern has been the general public. The taxpaying public will be potentially the loser here. And so for that reason, I'm backing this proposed amendment. Dash 3.
Representative Bowles.
So clearly, I think I am supportive of the task force idea, so to really vet this in a broader capacity. So referring to my earlier comments.
Other discussion? Representative Barreto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In discussing this bill with both sides, with both parties, those that are for it and those that oppose it, both, I think, are willing to work to compromise on this situation. And so that was one of the frustrations, I think, is, you know, rather than radically change the process in which we bid on these jobs, to change it somewhat, I think, was agreeable on both sides. And both sides said things need to be changed. And so to hastily pass this without getting input from both sides, I think, would not be prudent. So I am all for the dash 3.
Other discussion? Representative Bynum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In my discussions with the opponents of the original bill, the only message that I heard was that, not the only message, one of the very clear messages that I received was that things were great the way they were, and we've been doing this for 20 years. Here's the manual. This is the problem. There is no problem. One of the things that I did hear in their concerns was the opportunity for uncompensated work. So I am very sensitive to that, and I think that that is one of the weaker points in the proposal. However, I think that this would be a huge step forward for taxpayers. I also think it would be a huge step forward for smaller firms who are essentially locked out of the process now. So I would oppose the task force.
Thank you. I have been asked for a recess. Is there anybody else that wants to speak to the dash 3 amendment before I do that?
Can I have a second shot, Heather?
Yeah, I'd like to move on if we could.
I'd just like to mention,
go ahead.
If I could, I'd like to mention Daryl Fuller, Marshall Koba, and then also Andy Perry, who testified here the other day on opposing the bill. All three of them said they are willing to concede and work to a compromise. So
what about the other side?
What's that?
You should have the other side. the cities.
Right, and I appreciate that. I have been around this subject matter for a long time and recognize the current structure. The cities make a very good case that this is costing taxpayers, they believe, a lot more money, the process that they have to go through right now. And though I agree it could use some more conversation, I think I'm going to be supporting this, the dash one and the dash two, and not the the dash three at this time. So I will be a no on the dash three. And I've been asked for a recess, so I'm going to go ahead and recess. I'm not sure who asked for it, but I got a note. So we're going to stand at ease.
And I mean it.
My gosh. So reconvene the House Committee on Business and Labor. There's a motion on the table for the dash three amendment while simultaneously rescinding the vote by which we passed the dash one and dash two. And I think it's Jessica. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Representative
Bowles?
Yes.
Representative Doherty?
No.
Representative
Evans?
No.
Representative
Fahey?
No.
Representative Hemmer?
Yes.
Representative Pluso?
No.
Representative Wilson?
Yes.
Vice Chair Barreto?
Yes.
Vice Chair Bynum?
No.
Chair Holby?
No. Motion fails.
Chair Holby, I move House Bill 4127 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Bynum moves House Bill 4127 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Representative Hurd.
I'm going to be a courtesy yes on this. Although I do believe it does need some more work, I do think things need to change. And I want the taxpayers to be getting the best chance at the best deal.
Mm-hmm. Representative Doherty.
Okay, I'm also going to be a courtesy yes, but it's kind of information to the cities and counties is that the testimony by the presenter of the bill was that there were going to be two streams, what we do now and then a different stream of what people could use. And I'm telling you, if we come back a year from now and every city and county has only used the second stream and not gone back to the first, I will have another bill here, because we were been ensured that there's different ways to do it. Some of the people like the current QBS. Some people want to try the other one, but I think that it's the QBS has worked. But again, be careful about this. I'm going to agree with Representative Hurd. I'm sorry.
I'm going to play this number.
That I think that we need a year to work at this to make sure that the city that it actually is something that is an advantage to the taxpayers and does not hurt the quality of the projects. So.
Amazing. Representative Evans.
Thank you, Chair Holby. I want to add to the pile here. And first of all, I want to commend Vice Chair Barreto for the task force idea. Had I not given my word to the sponsor of the bill, I would have actually joined on that task force bill. But my respect for Representative McLean is marrow deep, and I was convinced that she believes she can make the case on the floor. I want to be very clear, my courtesy yes today does not mean I'm a yes on the floor, because I don't believe the solution has actually been found. I recognize the problem, and I'm with Representative Doherty in terms of if this is taken advantage of, there will, in fact, be hell to pay, because the case has not been made.
Representative Kinnemer.
Mr. Chair, I just want to clarify, as amended, that includes the First and Second Amendment. Is that correct?
That's correct. We passed.
Wanted to be sure it was clear on the record.
Yeah, we adopted the dash one and dash two amendments.
Thank you.
Other discussion? Seeing none, Jessica, could we have a roll call, please?
Representative Wilson?
No.
Representative Pluso?
No.
Representative Hemmer?
No. Yes.
Representative Hurd?
Yes.
Representative Fahey?
Yes.
Representative Evans?
Yes.
Representative Doherty?
Yes.
Representative Bowles?
No.
Vice Chair Barreto?
No.
Vice Chair Bynum?
Aye.
Chair Holby?
Aye. Yes, Representative Peluso.
I would like to change my vote to a yes.
I'll let the record show that Representative Peluso voted yes. House Bill 4127, having received the required votes, is passed, and Representative McLean will carry this on the floor. I'll close the work session on House Bill 4127. And I'm going to stand at ease for just a couple minutes. I'd like to reconvene the House Committee on Business and Labor. And our last bill of the evening is House Bill 4086. So I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 4086. Representative Bynum.
Chair Holvey, I move House Bill 4086 without recommendation to House Rules.
Representative Bynum moves House Bill 4086 without recommendation to the House Committee on Rules. Discussion. Wow. Representative Barreto.
Mr. Chair, I thought we were going to vote on this to the floor, so I just want to commend you and thank you for letting this work a little bit longer and sending it to rules, or at least the potential of sending it to rules. So, thank you.
Thank you. Other discussion?
No amendments.
No amendments.
Barreto, we're getting along.
Jessica, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Representative Bowles?
Yes.
Representative Doherty?
Yes.
Representative Evans?
Yes.
Representative Fahey?
Yes.
Representative Kurd?
Aye.
Representative Kenmer?
Aye.
Representative Peluso?
Yes.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Barreto?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bynum?
Aye.
Chair Holvey?
Aye. House Bill 4086, having received the required votes, is moved to the Committee on Rules.
With that,
I will close the work session on House Bill 4086.
All right, my husband is maybe not.
Chair Holby, I would like to serve notice for a minority report on House Bill 4127.
So I acknowledge I've received notice of a minority report. Certainly, we need two members to get something in writing to the committee administrator addressed to myself and her.
And within 2 hours of adjournment. So
within 2 hours of adjournment. And Jan's assistance on getting that by, I think, amendment by 5 tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think they're putting in a minority report.
Okay, any other business?
I want to just one thing.
Representative Bynum?
I just wanted to thank Jan, our committee administrator, for all of her hard work.
Yes.
Here.
You have the best.
Yes.
And her Valentine's dinner is cold.
Yeah.
No. Won't be the last time. Wasn't the first.
So, thank you. I think I did close the work session on 4086 already, so I'm going to adjourn the House Committee on Business and Labor, and we'll reconvene when the agenda pops up.
I was hoping you were going to say in February.
With that,
next year.
With that, I'll adjourn the House Committee on Business and Labor.
2020 or something.